الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Some of you may wonder, why are we reciting the ayah of Hajj when the Hajj is over, the sacrifice of animals are over, and many individuals are already back home or on the way home after completing the significant act. My brothers and sisters in Islam, sometimes we have to talk about things after they have taken place, so that way we can reflect hopefully on what we have missed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you and I are fully aware of, whatever He has in place, whatever rules, whatever regulation, whether we are strong believers or weak believers, one thing we have to realize: every rule that Allah has presented is going to benefit you and I if we follow it. And it is going to benefit us in this world as well as the hereafter. I'll give you a simple example. Take Salah. People, for example, always wondered, what are the benefits of Salah? What's this idea of just going up and down and going back and doing what you are doing? Now researchers are telling us that if a person involves themselves in approximately 15 to 20 minutes of meditation, total calmness on a daily basis, which means that one of the criterion of Salah is imperative to reduce your stress and your everyday challenges that you are going through, or alternatively change how you will view those challenges in your everyday life to give you greater success. So what are the researchers saying? If we spend approximately 15 to 20 minutes, and some will even say up to 30 minutes daily, of being tranquil in nature, it can create not only for positive outcomes and positive thoughts and greater well-being, but also can contribute towards longevity. And what does Allah say in the Quran? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Many places Allah talks about Salah, many different places. But in this specific place, what He says, it is important that when you pray, that you are tranquil in nature, totally giving up your Creator. Nothing is going to become between me and my Creator in fulfilling this obligation. This example is being given because for many years, many of us must have been thinking, what are the benefits of Salah? Now we are hearing that there are benefits. And as Muslims, we don't do it because there are benefits or no benefits. We believe, as Muslims, Allah has commanded and I shall do. That's it. And by doing it, we are finding out through research, anything that Allah has commanded us to do, there will always be a benefit. Take, for example, the zakah. Logically, who in their mind will tell you, give 2.5%? Even when people ask for collection and donation, by nature, humans are very greedy. The Quran, for example, mentions in various places of the Quran, when it's time for me to receive, I want the maximum. When it comes for me to give, I want to give the minimum. Take, for example, a person selling the house. When they want to sell the house, the market says the house is worth, let's say, 500,000. But I've got to try and get 550. It's human nature. When it's time for me to buy a house,
The market says 500,000. I got to pay 400,000. That's human nature. When it comes to giving, I want to give less. When it comes to getting, I want to maximize. Allah makes it so easy. He says, just keep it to 2.5%. That's it. And even that is difficult for Muslims to do. But yet we know now from social research, my point here is whatever Allah says, whether we look at it as positive or negative, Allah knows why He's saying it. And now what does social research say? A person who does good for other individuals without manipulation, without seeking a reward, does it purely for the sake of doing it, for a higher being and a higher worthiness. In our case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will begin to feel good about yourself. That's why those people that are involved in non-profit organizations, whatever it may be, whether it's masjids, whether it's schools, whether it's homeless shelter, whatever, those that do it for sincere purposes, not to get the name, those that are doing it for name and fame, you will see the hecticness in their voice, you will see the tension in the on their face, on their heart rate, everything. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the true, sincere ones, based on the research and based on what the Quran and Hadith make mention. They will have a unique calmness to them, such a calmness that without them asking you, you don't want to give them money. I remember there was a scholar, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote a tafsir. I met him many years ago when we were students in South Africa. He came. People talk about his school. He has an expense sheet. I mean, this man is remarkable. He has an expense sheet. So let's say the expense sheet in his currency, if converted to dollars, let's say $50,000 a year. That's his expense for the institution. Once you have given him or he has collected that 50,000, even if you give him a dollar more, I'm sorry, I'm done. We are done. Please take. No, we don't take anymore. Give to someone else. Even show it to other institutions to give. He will never take a penny more. Never. People have tried it. You look at this man. He peaceful of peaceful in nature. You know, there's a true story about this man, by the way. One day, he went to a... He got off from the train station. And this is documented recently. In the past maybe 50 years or so. Maximum 100 years, but he wasn't that old, so roughly. In my lifetime and your lifetime. Suffice to say, he got down from the train station. A guy came to grab his money. And grabbed his money. He told the thief, stop. Just stop right there, he told him. If you want money, I'll give you money, but don't take that money. That's what he said, don't take that money. That money, I collected it for my institution. We talk of sincerity of people. Allah says 2.5%. We're talking about whatever Allah says we follow. That's what we're talking about. So don't think I'm going off track here. I'm trying to show you, if you do what Allah wants you to do and you give the way Allah wants you to give only the amount, Allah will multiply for you. So he told those people, those thief, don't take the money. You want money, I'll give you money from my side. But that money is collected for the sake of Allah. This teaches people like us, people like Brother Ghulam and many others over here, nothing personal, that this criterion, this value we have to establish. I can use Brother Ghulam's name, but I know he's a good man. So nobody must think that he must give him less money now. Yeah, alhamdulillah, he does good projects. Brother Ghulam, you don't mind if people support Iqra School. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, on a serious note, those people refuse to listen. He says, if you are going to take that money, you will not be able to move from that spot. People say those people became like statues instantaneously. So the point here is, Allah has things that are established. If I'm the collector of zakah, I got to be genuine. And if I'm the giver of zakah, I got to be genuine. When both of us are genuine, Allah will protect our money. He'll protect the one that is receiving, and He'll protect the one that is giving. That's why we come again. Now we're talking about the Hajj. Many people, alhamdulillah, will be coming back, and may Allah bless them, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj. But at the same time, you and I have to focus on how we can attain a beautiful Hajj if we have not gone for it. My brothers and sisters, we spend money on everything. I got to send my kids to look at grandpa and grandma overseas. Have you ever heard of that in your life? People doing it? Spending 20,000, minimum 10,000, just to go and see grandma and grandpa. Grandma and grandpa is very important. But what about the house of Allah? Allah has given, you know, I will read to you a hadith of Rasulullah that if Allah has blessed you with the ability to go for the Hajj, then that is something that becomes wajib upon you to do. And the hadith of Rasulullah says the following: whosoever performs the Hajj in such a way, in during the days of Hajj, that does not commit anything that is obscene. And my brothers, you know, I always say, and I mentioned from the kitab that we have read, tell me a man that has moved a mountain, I'll tell you you're speaking the truth. Tell me a person that has changed a bad habit, and I'll tell you you're a liar. Because habits, what the English say is, they die hard. They don't leave you. If you got a habit, for example, if you did not perform Fajr Salah today, trust me, next week Friday you're not going to perform. Inshallah, you'll do it. We even mentioned this on Eid Day, some of you were here. I said, I'm afraid. Many of us came for Eid Salah, but we will miss our Fajr Salah. Some of you, what you probably said, Imam is telling Fajr Salah, what does he know? Of course we're going to read him. He doesn't know what he's talking. From Eid to now, how many of us miss our Fajr Salah? We're not even going to go to the aspect of how many of us do not perform Salah with Fajr, Salah with Jama'ah. I'm not talking about those that live far away, those that live in a 3-mile radius. So the hadith says, whoever performs Hajj in such a way during which they do not commit anything obscene. How can you not commit anything obscene when that's what we are filled with all the time? But if you manage to not do anything obscene, nor involve yourself in any other sin. That means lying, cheating. You know what amuses me most? I say amuses me, because I'm sometimes amused with things that I shouldn't be amused with. There's a brother that took people for Hajj. And while he's in Makkah, there's a conference call with some people, and he's saying to the brothers on the phone, this year I didn't make much money. I only made $100 a person. And we went, la ilaha illallah. What is this guy talking? You are in front of the Ka'batullah. You are making, and you are saying, I'm in front of the Ka'ba. And you are lying about the amount of money you are making. Nobody even asked you how much you are making. Do you think this man's life is going to be changed when he comes back home? Impossible, whichever state he lives in, wherever he is. When Allah gives you, you know, there's a scholar, Mufti Mahmud, he told someone, and I want you to pay attention to this. He told to a brother, somebody came to him and said, Shaykh, make dua Allah gives me money. Make dua Allah gives me money. You know what he looked at the person and said? If Allah gave you all the money in the world, you'll never be happy, and you say, may Allah give me more money. That's the fitrah of some people. And some people, you know, if you have to give them money, let's say you gave somebody $1 million. If Allah told me to give some people $1 million, and if I had it, you know why I won't give it? Do you know why I won't give it? Because you know what they'll tell me? Who's going to pay the taxes on this? My friend, give me a break. I must give you the million plus pay your taxes on it. That is the fitrah of some people. So the hadith is making mention. Change your life from now and start changing your life from now. So when you go there to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the hadith makes mention, it'll become easier for you to be less obscene. And it'll be easier for you to stay away from other sins. And the hadith says, and thereafter when you come back, it'll be as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you an opportunity to be born again. In such a way, when you come back, it'll be as if you are sinless in nature. Another hadith of Rasulullah says the following: perform the Hajj and Umrah simultaneously, because both the Hajj and the Umrah remove, what does it remove? It removes poverty and sins. Now you want to go overseas for a holiday, or wherever you want to go, on that fancy honeymoon or trip or wherever. You go there and you come back. You know when people come back from the holiday, what they say? Now I need another holiday. Because the holiday turned out to be so stressful. So the hadith of Rasulullah is saying that when you go and you perform the Hajj and Umrah with sincerity and genuineness, Allah will make your life easier when you come back. Now you wonder why you went and you came back and you're still stuck in poverty. Or you came back and you're still stuck in your sins. Why? Because you didn't go as a changed person. You went for some other agenda. Something else was up your sleeves. So something else happened to you when you came back as well. Or you continued the same way. So the hadith is saying, transform yourself and Allah will remove this poverty from you. Allah will assist by removing your sins. He will bring barakah in your life. You will become strengthened spiritually. You will become strengthened physically. And you will become closer to attaining what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for you to attain. Hadith number 3. Perform the Hajj as soon as possible, because none of you knows what is going to happen next. So my brothers and sisters, as I've said before, if Allah has blessed you, or you have a job, halal job, now that you've got to say halal job as well, it's also an important thing. If Allah has given you, for the third time, a halal job, and a halal way of earning it, meaning you don't lie, meaning you don't cheat, meaning you don't sell what you're not supposed to sell, you sell what you are supposed to sell. That's what halal job means. Then start taking those resources, keeping them one side, and get yourself ready to fulfill this obligation, either for yourself or help your young ones as well. Hadith number 4, Allah the Almighty is proud of a people when they are in Arafah over the heavenly people. And he says that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so proud of the people that are performing the Hajj while they are part of the Arafah. By the way, notice the Hajj says, Al-Hajj Arafah. What are they referring to? They're meaning that a Hajj without Arafah, and you don't go to Arafah in Hajj, that's it, it's over. We think the wrong meaning. Our meaning in America for Al-Hajj Arafah is, we must perform Eid with them and we must do. No way it says that in Al-Hajj Arafah. Al-Hajj Arafah means that if you don't go to Arafah and you don't fulfill the criteria of Arafah, then there is no Hajj. Logic, no brain. In America we say, if we don't do Hajj with them, or we don't do Eid with them, then our Eid is not accepted. So my brother and sister, the important thing is not doing Eid with them or without them, the important thing is getting your life right, getting your earnings right, and being there in Arafah for Hajj. Why? So this dua can become, this hadith can become a reality where Allah can boast to the angels and says to the angels, look at these people, they are disheveled. They are not in the best of physical shape because they are drained. They are drained. They are tired. They are fatigued. But despite them being tired and fatigued, they are standing in Arafah and saying, oh Allah, be good to me. Oh Allah, be kind to me. Oh Allah, be loving to my family. Oh Allah, be loving to the Ummah. When you start saying, oh Allah, be loving to the Ummah, Allah doesn't need to become ashamed. But what it means here is Allah says, if my servant can ask for other people, undoubtedly I can give to the servant and other people as well. And this is how du'as get accepted. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, if you want your life to be changed, and you want poverty to be removed from your life, and you want barakah in your existence, then Hajj is something you have to take seriously, number one. Number two, you have to start, inshallah, saving up for it with halal, good resources. And number three, start reforming your transactions, whether it's social, financial, or whatever it may be. And inshallah, with that halal money, you go to that place and you put your head down on the ground, or you raise your hands up, you raise your hands up in Arafah and you say, oh Allah, I left everything behind. This is all that I have on me right now. And oh Allah, accept my du'as. Oh Allah, accept that of my family. My brothers and sisters, as I said in the beginning, everything came for a purpose. And I gave you examples of those various things. This too has come for a purpose. So if we fulfill what Allah wants us to fulfill regarding this given aspect, then undoubtedly, inshallah, Allah will bless us in this world, Allah will bless us in the hereafter, Allah will bless our families, and inshallah, give us the necessary success that we are seeking, not only in this world, but also inshallah, the hereafter to come as well.
May Allah help us and guide us at all times.